Boom. All right. Demasi just joined. What?
I just said markers.
Oh, yes. Marker. Are you ready to go live in the places?
Yeah, we can go live in the places.
All right.
I'm going to be getting set up and then switch over to a decent microphone, though.
Boom. Alrighty.
I should probably grab the mic stand. I don't know if the mic was actually over here. Because, you know, plugging it up don't help if it's way on the other side of the desk. All right, so I'm going to turn on the Zoom recorder.
Okay.
I should probably have checked this before we went live, but... Just to make sure people can actually hear it. But, all right. So, I'll turn this on.
Battery level high. Rec standby.
All right. I'll fix this accessibility if I can get next to it. File list. Output setting. Or is that loud enough? Can you hear that?
I can hear it, yes. It is faint, but I can hear it.
All right, hold on.
Output SD USB system setting. Language, data, display power, Bluetooth, accessible guide, volume, quiet, mild, loud,
volume. Mild. Mild is good.
Oh, mild was good.
Yeah. Loud, mild, volume.
All right, so what I'm going to do here is go through the process of setting up the Zoom recorder to be my audio interface for this episode.
Guide sound.
Because we're not doing this again. Yeah.
Set it to loud, just to be safe.
Okay.
Volume. Mild. Loud. Volume.
There you go. Yep.
Guide sound.
All
right. Version. Back. Accessibility.
All right, so the first thing I'm actually going to do is I'm going to plug in my XLR cable from my Shure Beta 87A.
I love that microphone.
Input one. Yeah, me too, man. I'm glad I got it back, too. I mean, I never lost it, but I'm just glad to be back, about to use it. All right, so I'm going to go to USB. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to go to input.
Accessibility. Bluetooth.
I'm going to arm this track or arm this channel by pressing the button. So that should be armed. I'm going to show Mike my quick workaround. I figured out.
Microphone.
Let's see.
Input.
Input one. 0.
Yep,
it lets me make changes, so that means it works.
Battery level high. Rec standby. Right. File list. Input setting. Output setting. Input setting. Microphone. Right,
go to input settings.
Input one.
Input one. The microphone, for everybody that's not familiar with this recorder, is referring to the attached microphones at the top. But I want input one because that's where I plugged this mic in. So I'm going to press enter there.
Phantom.
I don't need to turn on phantom power.
Off. On. Phantom.
All right.
Stereo link. Back.
And I'm going input back now. One. Now I'm going to USB settings to configure this and then plug it into
input
the computer.
Input 2. Input 3. Input 4. Back. Battery level high. Rec standby.
And first I'm going to plug in this cable. Now the interesting thing about this is even though I plug in this cable, it does nothing until I actually tell the recorder how to behave as a USB device, whether it's going to be a interface or I think Mike is texting me to tell me you lost me.
Nope, you didn't lose me.
Oh, okay. Somebody else is texting me. I have to wait. I'm doing the thing.
I posted on Mastodon.
Oh, that's probably what that was. Okay. Alright, so right now it is connected to the computer, but it has no idea what I wanted to do. So we're going to go to USB.
Output setting. Rec setting. SD card. USB.
I'm going to press enter there.
File transfer.
And for transparency, you might as well explain to people how you're getting around there.
What do you mean? Oh, the little wheel? Like,
yeah, the jog wheel. Because if you're on the H1E, you use the four buttons to directly below the screen.
Yeah.
But I'm not special enough to have an H16 or an H6E. So how do you navigate the H6E?
What he actually means is he just didn't choose to put himself into super debt to get one. So on the
I'm going to CSUN. I got money going other places.
Exactly. See, that's the difference. He chose to go to CSUN, and I chose to buy a recorder. So yeah, we're still technically working dot show, and click on that.
Yes. Tip jargon.
Check that out. So on the H4 as well as the H6, on the right hand side of the device, as you're holding it with the screen facing you, meaning that the XLR ports are furthest away from you, on that right side, there's a little jog wheel, feels like a volume button, but it's on the right side, and that moves you through these menu options. And right below that, if you're holding the device flat, is the enter button. So you press that to activate the option that you've currently selected.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn this
audio interface
to audio interface. I'm going to press
channel.
Enter. And let's go to channel.
Stereo mix.
I don't want stereo
multi-track.
Mix. I want multi-track because I'm going to also use this as my backup recorder for today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I press enter there. Now, one oddity here that I've noticed with the H6 is when I select the channel mode, it doesn't actually say anything. It is now back in the main, back in the previous menu. So if I were to press
cancel channel
up and then press down with the jog wheel to come back, I'm back on channel. So it does actually make the selection, but it doesn't tell you that you're back in that menu, which in most instances it does.
Okay.
So there's been one thing that I've noticed here.
Mode.
I'm going to press enter.
Audio interface with Rec.
And that's what I want, audio interface with Rec, which allows me to use this as an interface as well as a recorder. And pressing enter again does not tell me I'm back in this menu, but I am.
Power.
Here you can choose to run this off the internal batteries of the device, well, your AAA batteries that you put in here. And the H6 at least does take four AAAs.
USB.
But I'm going to make sure, and I just want to double check, that it is going to get its power from the computer it's plugged into.
Batteries.
So I can use battery or USB.
USB.
And I'm going to press enter on USB. That way I'm not killing my batteries.
Connect.
And then there's the connect option. So I'm going to press OK there. And I'm now
standby
in USB mode as an interface. And I also should be, actually I can't monitor myself because I got the headphones plugged into the Mac, not into the interface, not into the thing. So I'm going to first switch over to using Zoom
in clean feed. So right now he's going to go locate the clean feed option and switch over there. Uh-oh, that's not good.
Okay, there you go.
Yes, there. All right. I go.
Well, there I go.
Yes,
now you can hear me. All right, good deal.
Do you know what happened?
I have no idea. When I first texted you and said, hold on, I think I know what the issue is, I thought it was the thing we discussed about maybe having to use a virtual device to pull a specific channel. So I was frantically creating a loopback device. And I just grabbed the old one and was like, oh, let me add this to it, do this, boom, 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 okay. Now, I did just think about something with loopback.
Oh, yeah? You forgot to change the device in loopback?
Nope.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Nope, that wasn't it. I thought maybe I didn't have the device actually active. So, no, I have no idea what happened. Let me open up.
We tried it. See, we're technically working. Needed to start out the show a little different. And at least we're not on the MacBook Air microphones again. I am so sorry, listeners. I'm so sorry for last week. I thought it was going to turn out well. Needless to say, when I travel, I'm going to bring some sort of microphone with me, even if that means I use the H1E built-in microphones and hold my hand completely still. I'm never doing that to you again.
Pardon me. Switch to the AT2005. So I got a backup recording. All right, there we go. Now the backup recording is actually in place.
We still, we did something. Like we got going with this. I think it's a good experience. So that takes us into, you have your H6E. What are your initial thoughts on it after having it for a week-ish?
So my initial thoughts on it are, you know, the build quality is kind of what you expect with Zoom. You know, it's plastic, but it doesn't feel like cheap plastic. I like the capability overall. The microphones that ship with it are the standard XY microphones. They're much bigger, of course, than the ones on the H1.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're okay. Kind of enormous. They're big capsules. I do like the ability. I like the system they have here for being able to slide off that mic. Because right now, I don't even have those mics on there. I just have the cap that covers mm-hmm. it up. So for those not aware, the H6 has the ability to remove the microphones that are on the top, whereas the H4 and H1 do not have that capability. So if your microphones come off your H1 or your H4, you're broken. But with this one, there's just a little switch you pull up, and you slide the capsule forward, and it just slides off. And then it ships with a cover that you can just put there if you don't have any microphones attached. I never really looked into Zoom's H-series recorders once I discovered they weren't accessible in the past, but apparently the previous version of this also had this type of system where you were able to switch the microphones to different types of mics, including the ability to add extra two XLR ports. Those are not compatible with the H6E, however. So if you had an H6 or if you buy an H6E, you're going to have to wait for Zoom to release the updated modules for the H6E. You're not going to be able to use the H6 in or whatever it was capsules. Part of that they say is to support the new 32-bit float that comes in all of the essential lineup. But in general, I like it. It's good navigation. I do have some feedback that, as I mentioned initially, in some menus, mostly kind of in the ones that I was in just then, you press the option to select and it doesn't read that you're back in the menu. You just have to kind of figure that out. Once you do, you're comfortable enough like I am to know that I'm back where I started out at. Four XLR ports on here too on each side, so I like that. They're combo jacks, so you can also plug in a quarter inch to one of these. This has been mentioned everywhere, but I'm going to say it for the sake of, you know, anybody that hasn't been listening or reading other reviews from blind individuals. The arm and disarm buttons. There's an arm and disarm button for the top set of microphones, whatever you have up there, as well as one each for the four XLR ports. It just beeps, so it doesn't actually tell you if you're armed or disarmed. You heard me mention in that little demo as I was setting it up to try to use it as an audio interface that I was going to show Mike the little trick that I mentioned to him, which is going into the mixer where you can adjust the volume level of each individual channel as it's presented. And if you press enter on an option and it doesn't open it up for you to adjust volume, then that track is not armed. Also, this will prevent you from recording if you don't have a track armed. It's kind of like Reaper. If you don't arm a track and you press record, it says there's no track armed.
Right.
But
thank you, Reaper, for looking out for me in those instances.
Yes, there's. I don't think it's happened a lot to me, but it's happened a few times where I had to go add something in or add a new track or configure something, and I get back and I'm like, all right, ready to go, hit record, and it's like, no, you don't have. I was like, oh yeah. See, I would have spent the next 20 minutes talking and didn't realize I didn't record nothing until I was done. So that's always helpful. They have received this feedback about the arming, disarming. But in general, I like the device. I think it's going to be useful. I do need to figure out like why it would not behave as a... and I did some test recordings yesterday with this. It's Sunday for those listening. We're recording a day late. But... and those worked fine. Like Audio Hijack picked up the recording just fine off of the H6. Everything worked great. So that's why I told Michael, well, we'll start this out with me setting this up over the MacBook Air microphone and then switch so I can use my Shure Beta 87A. And well, we saw how that came out.
And as I said in the beginning, though, too, well, not the beginning, but part of that, at least we're back using something different than what we were using. We tried this. What this tells us is now we need to figure out, was this an issue with the device, Demasi's setup, or what I suspect, and I think he actually tried it too, Chrome. slash Edge slash whatever you're using. You tried to close the browser and reopen it and come back, right?
Yeah. Well, I refreshed it. I didn't close it and reopen it.
Because I wonder if closing and reopening might have triggered it. But the weird thing is I was seeing the device. By chance, can you be muted? Did you try toggling the mute?
No, because there is no mute. That is one feature that I have a feature request for. On the H1, when it is in its USB microphone mode, the play pause button becomes a mute button, which is cool. Here on the H6, I do not have a way to just mute an input at all. So what I would like to see is the arm-disarm buttons, because it doesn't let you disarm or arm a track once you're... Well, I guess it doesn't let you disarm. I'm not sure if it lets you arm a track while you're recording, because I didn't try that, because I didn't have anything plugged into arm. But I did test to see if pressing the arm disarm, but like, hey, I could just disarm the track for a second. That does not, it does not allow you to do that. So once you start recording on the device itself, it's not going to, allow you to disarm a track that is armed for recording. Now that could be a workaround if I weren't recording on the device and was just sending audio into the computer. But what I would like to see is those buttons actually change to be mute buttons for each individual channel after you proceed with recording. So I've armed, you know, say track one and track two, I could quickly reach over and hit the arm button for track two to mute it for a few seconds, or some type of functionality to mute. But that's not a native feature built in at this moment on the H6. And I'm going to make the assumption that that is also true for the H4. Just because they're very similar to each other. The primary differences that I'm aware of at this point between the two devices is the H4 has two XLRs, the 6 has four, and of course the 6 has that ability to remove and swap out your mic capsules on the top of it.
So, JJ does not listen to the show, I don't think. Still, because he did not say anything, but they are now all three publicly available at atguys.com.
Yep. And I'm also using a new product or an updated version of a previous product of ours as well for headphones right now.
Oh, you are?
Yep. Using the Quiet Comfort Plus. That is the right name, right? We didn't change the name, really.
Not that I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm using those in wire mode as over-the-ear headphones because I wanted to try these out, see how they worked. That's why I was asking you really about the volume of the recorder, because I had these headphones on plugged into the Mac to start off so you wouldn't hear any feedback from you and clean feed over the mic. So I kind of really couldn't tell if it was loud enough or not, because these kill a ton of noise, man. Like, I don't, it's like... This is like, oh, I've not worn, and you think about, like, I haven't worn closed back headphones in a very long time, because even the over the ears that we both have are the AKG 240s. Those are semi open, so you still hear some environmental noise around you. It's just not, you know, amplified, but your ears are kind of more open. These are completely closed back, so it's like I sound weird in my head, which I don't like.
It's almost like wearing earbuds as your monitors versus these, because once you get used to these AKG 240s, you hear yourself while you're monitoring yourself, but you also hear your natural voice a little bit too, because I can hear this fan going off on this Lenovo to my left. Oh man, that drives me. I'm not as crazy as it drives you, but it still is irritating. But it's a different experience when you have completely closed back headphones or earbuds on than when you're using these partially open back.
Yeah. And because these are covering up my entire ear, like I'm not even with the earbuds, I feel like there's a difference, because like your ears are still kind of, you know, sticking out. So sound is still bouncing off your ears. It's just not all of it's not making it into your canals. Whereas with this, it's like there's nothing, like it just kills everything. Yeah. I love those AKGs though. Those are hands down the best over ear headphones I've ever used.
Yes. For sure.
And they're circular, which means they don't get too uncomfortable after a while, which is what's going to happen with these, I can tell already, because of the ovaly shape. But these are actually pretty comfortable. They still work as Bluetooth as well as wired, which I thought was cool. And they're fairly comfortable. The padding is pretty good on them. Like, they don't feel cheap. They feel different.
That's good.
They feel different from the original version of these, but they don't feel cheapened, if that makes sense. Like, I know you've seen the Quiet Comfort Pluses that we originally carried, and it felt like the ear cup was kind of attached mm-hmm. to the headband, sort of.
Yeah.
So it kind of wiggled a bit. Yeah, this doesn't have that. Like, this is just all of one piece.
Okay. And they still fold up and yep. They come with a case.
Yep. They still come with a big case. They still fold up. They still ship with the charging cable and the aux cable to turn them into wired headphones.
And they are.
And this cable is actually a little bit thicker than the other one, too, which is good because the other one was kind of thin. I don't like thin cables. Some people like thin. I don't like thin cables like that, because I just feel like it's a short waiting to happen.
And they're $27 cheaper than the other ones.
Yep, they are.
I think the other ones were $79.
Yep, the other ones were $79. These are $53. I actually am buying Tia a pair of these to replace. So I have a pair out for demo, which are the ones I'm using now, because I had to open them up a mm-hmm. demo pair. But I let her try them on or whatever. I was like, okay, I'll buy you a pair of these because they're newer. They're a little bit more comfortable. The sound cancellation is still good. A little bit different design. Oh, that was weird.
What?
I just turned on the noise cancellation. Like, it slap killed every damn thing.
So it works, huh?
Yeah. I sound really funny now. I don't. Okay, uh-huh. I got to turn that off.
Oh, because you don't have real-time monitoring right now, do you?
I do, but it's not.
Oh, but it's just that when you have the noise cancellation, you don't hear your natural.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds really strange.
You don't like it.
I don't. I probably could get used to it. No, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
We turn that off. All right, there we go. Wow, that's interesting, because I don't think I really played with the other ones enough to know if they worked in wire mode for noise canceling.
Noise cancellation. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. So, get you a pair, man.
Yeah, I should. ATGuys.com. And that invoice is getting bigger. Just say it.
This is another line item, man. Another line item. So here's a good reason to always have a backup microphone. Always have, and see some people, mm-hmm. if they knew, may have thought I was a little weird. Why did you buy that microphone for $30 when it was on sale? Because I always got to have a USB mic I could just plug in. Because if I didn't, it wouldn't be a show.
You can get two of the Q2Us now for $70 is what I heard.
Two of them?
Like two of with a pair. So they're 40 bucks, $35 each piece.
That's not a bad deal. I got two microphones. Mm-hmm. If I needed them, it would be a good thing to have with the.
Someone to send me a link because I need a backup microphone.
Yeah, man. So,
although if I have to use a microphone remotely, I'm going to use this H1E. Knock on wood. I finally, man, procrastination. Procrastination is real. I finally bought plane tickets for CSUN, so it's actually official. Like, we bought the tickets today. Probably should have bought them like 2 months ago, but you know, procrastination is real.
Well, there's also that niggling, like, if I buy these, I'm not gonna, depending on the terms of the airline, like, you may mm-hmm. can't get your money back. You can just exchange for different tickets or take points or so it's like laying out that money and not being 100% certain you were gonna get there either.
And I was hoping the price would come down a little. It just started creeping up more. And at some point, I just had to pull the trigger. So, but we did shop smart. We bought a Southwest gift card from Costco, a $500 gift card for $419. Uh-oh. Plus, I had a $100 gift card from last time I traveled with Southwest. So we're good on Southwest credit right now. So we saved some money, though. Not on the flight, we didn't really save money, but in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to using Southwest, we saved a little bit, which is awesome. And my flights are good. I land in California at 5:15 p.m., and I land back in Eugene at like 5:20 p.m. So, like, it's not super late, super early flights. I leave at like 11 and 2 and stuff like that. So, It turned out pretty good. I will be back before next Saturday, so we don't need to change any recording times. And then this Saturday we should be good, unless you have something coming up. But I think we're good for the next couple weeks.
And next Saturday when you get back, well, after you're back from CSUN, I will be home for spring break. Whole week out.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I'll set up my appointment with Barbara, get my haircut too. I'll do that. So I'll forget, and then it'll be there Friday, and be like, but yeah. So just to wind up the conversation about the Zoom H6, I'm still happy with it. I want to figure out this issue again. I probably could have done this last night. I just kind of assumed since it worked with Audio Hijack, though, it would work. So I do want to figure that out, because having this as a travel device, I think, would be good, along with the, you know, any XLR microphone. It doesn't have to be my Beta 87A. But the plan is, once I'm back at home, hopefully one will be in a new place too. When I set the kind of recording work area back up, hopefully in a new place, I will have the Ethos microphone on a boom arm, and it'll never leave the house, because I'm terrified of dropping it or losing the freaking little foam thing. Oh, pop filter,
the pop filter.
Yeah, that comes with it, because that's like an integrated, it's not matched to, like, it fits it, but it came with it, right? So like it's a part of the microphone, like they sell it as one piece, but it will come off, and I'll be terrified of losing that. So
right,
ideally, I would be able to travel with the H6 and the Beta 87A as a microphone, with the ATR probably, depending on where I'm going and what I'm doing, maybe as an additional microphone, or also as a second microphone if I record something in person.
Do you wish you would have got the 4 or?
No.
Like. Okay.
No, and the reason I don't, and I thought real hard about it, because honestly, I don't think I need the 4 XLR inputs of this microphone. I mean, of this recorder. Like that would be a rare occasion. But what did push me over to getting the H6 over the 4 was the ability to remove that capsule on the end.
And change needs based on what you're doing and put something different on there. By the way, that person who's were delivering in person, she asked me, she said, are you guys going to carry the capsule with the 2 extra XLR ports? The first place my mind went to is, what the hell are you going to do with 6 XLR ports?
Well, she's going to record live in person. I mean,
with 6 people, 5 other people?
Hey, man, it's the thing.
Yeah, I know.
It's the thing. I mean, so it would be nice to have that flexibility if it's a thing that comes up. You know, looking at your CSUN trip, for example, or looking at potentially this year's convention, national convention, right? Mm-hmm. We all land in the same place. Like, hey, we could sit down and record a show, and all we need is 3 microphones, and we don't need anything else. Like, we got a recorder right there. We're good.
That's right. You don't even need a computer, because you can record each person to their own track on the micro SD card.
Yep.
And powered off the AT Guy's accessible portable power bank.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to worry about running out of batteries.
There you go, man. See? It all comes together, right?
Yes, sir.
But yeah, that is one of the things that pushed me over, because I did think about like the shotgun mic attachment that they're going to have. That is something I probably will buy that can be used in some specific scenarios, but also the ability to just take that cap off and put on just a cover and not have to worry about banging around those microphones when I'm really not going to be using them. Now, I don't worry about that with the H1 because it's so small. Like that's right. What it's for is to be a little portable recorder, and I like that one.
It is nice. Just slip it in a pocket. Like, it just slips into my front pocket. I always have a recorder with me. Mallory has already told me multiple times I do not consent to being recorded. So
So I was at the NFB of Alabama this weekend, and I showed that recorder to a person. I'm not going to mention their name just because.
Yeah.
But I showed the recorder to a person. I was telling them, like, so, you know, it'd be a good little pocket recorder for some students, you know, in college, different scenarios I was outlining. I was like, so it's available now for, you know, students or whoever. He's like, what about the nosy people? I said, they can buy one too, but I tell you what, I think I had told him, I was like, tell any students or, you know, anything like that that you think might need it. He said, what about the nosy people? And I was like, you can tell them too, but just tell me who you recommended it to that is a nosy person. Cause yeah, they'll be just sliding around. Now there's a lot of audible feedback. So, seriousness, you got to really plan to try to be sneaky. But I will also, I guess I can't preface that. What is the,
append?
Yeah, I will append to that. However, though, never say anything in public that you don't want anybody to record you for, because I guarantee you people can record you on the iPhone a whole lot quicker than they pull this out. So, you know,
yep. Never say stuff. Or their Apple Watch.
Or their Apple Watch.
Just tap on my Apple Watch and you're recording. Like, I got JPR in my bottom right-hand corner. I know where it is. I know how to record now.
Not saying we would ever do anything so nefarious, but again, be mindful. Yeah, just like I say to people, don't post stuff on social media that you don't, or don't post things on the internet you don't want the rest of the world to know. Like, don't say stuff in public spaces that you don't want other people to know. Because I recently had a conversation.
Almost don't say stuff in private spaces you don't want other people to know this day.
You know, if you don't control the space, I'm just saying. Like that Airbnb, you may want to, you know, run some camera checks or something. You know, get IRA out. That could be a service right there. That could be a good Be My Eyes service, right? Like, you have a company, like a good security company that's good at spotting the different sorts of locations and where people will hide cameras and microphones. I'm like, okay, I'm at this Airbnb. Just need to do a quick scan, quick check here for me. All right. Oh, you think there might be a camera in that light. All right, hold on. Let me go get my hammer.
Smash that light.
I was about to say, let me go get my hammer, my little mini hammer out of my bag real quick. We'll take care of that one.
So have you been doing any web work lately? I imagine not.
No, man, I have not. I have not. What my time has been filled with here recently is getting into more AT Guy stuff, because I was preparing for this convention and studying ServSafe. Because ideally we'll be taking that test maybe in the next couple of weeks if everybody's kind of at a point where they feel comfortable to take it, which means if we can get it out of the way before spring break, not think about it no more.
Yes.
But I do got to pass that to get out of here. And also have been readjusting some things as far as diet. Like I've got some options now that I didn't have before. Now I just got to work on a plan to start getting more calories in, because I've dropped about 20 pounds. Tia says 25. I know I've dropped at least 20 pounds since I've been here, and it was not me trying to lose weight. So got to do something about that.
Yeah. Shout out to Tia, who unfortunately cannot listen to us live today because we're having some technical issues, and I need to get some credentials so we can go live because that changed. So hopefully her and those who are listening normally live are listening to the podcast. And I wanted to bring up some numbers. So while I pull some numbers, let me ask you, is your issues with in-person orders? Let me move this mic. I'm popping my peas. Is your issue with in-person orders any better, or have you experimented or changed anything in that scenario?
I did not change anything at all for this weekend.
Okay.
What I am hopeful will work, though, is once we make the complete switch over, is that one of the two solutions will work, either WooCommerce app or Stripe directly, because I also thought about just importing everything into Stripe as well and just being able to check people out that way. But no, I haven't experimented with anything in person.
Okay. So we haven't touched these numbers in a little while. We're at 6855 with 101 downloads for last week's episode right now, which I feel like those numbers are down a little bit, but I also understand if people went and told their friends, hey, don't listen to this week's episode because their audio is crappy. So, we'll leave it at that. The episode before that had 161 listens, so.
Well, okay. So we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yep.
Coming up.
But we need you, listener, the person whose ear I'm in right now, to tell someone about the show, especially if you've laughed once. Go tell someone.
Thanks very much. We appreciate it. And yeah, we're not going to do that to you again. Guaranteed. Like, I'm appalled, but we made the decision to try it without knowing what the outcome was going to be. But given
so
that,
I've got an interesting setup here. I have a Lenovo laptop to my left because Steven asked me to record a demo of the new JAWS Picture Smart feature. So I have a Lenovo laptop here to my left, plugged into the headphone jack is an 1/8-inch to 1/8-inch patch cable. And then on the other end of that cable, it's plugged directly into the Vocaster One. In Reaper, I just opened my Shell Phone Show template because Shell Phone Show has track one as the host microphone on the Vocaster and track two has the aux as the input. Mm-hmm. So maybe should rename it, but right now Shell Phone Show works because I know what it is. Mm-hmm. And then when I want, I just hit the option number two for the keyboard. And like right now, I am not controlling the Mac. I am controlling Windows. I did go in and make some changes to my keyboard setup on Windows. And probably in retrospect, it's going to mess me up in the future, I think, if I ever decide to use this keyboard on the go. Because what I did is I changed the right alt key to be my Windows key, and the right Windows key, no, I'm sorry, left alt and left Windows key, I swapped them around. So left Windows is now left alt is now left Windows. And the reason I did that is because on the MX keys, now I actually can press alt tab, which is command tab when I'm on the Mac, but on Windows it's alt tab. So I don't have to worry about breaking my brain to remember to move my thumb over by one key, even though that's what I have to do in Parallels because it's just the way that it's set up in Parallels. So it is really nice. I have used control left and right arrow keys, which natively do not seem to work in Parallels, so I can navigate word by word, and that's pretty nice. But that's that setup. So I have both computers running into the headphones. I can switch between them with these two keys. I need to attach one of the phones to the third key. I do consider the fact of changing the Vocaster to the Windows machine, like plugging it into the USB port of the Windows machine, and then plugging the Mac into the aux port. The benefit to doing that is then the Windows machine is handling all my audio, so I can log into Zendesk on the Windows machine, take calls, and use the Shure Beta 87A. Because right now, I don't think I can. I need to experiment with that because I'm thinking about this, and maybe it actually already works. And
it should.
My input, yeah, you see where I'm going with that? Because the line in should be getting audio because it does when you plug it into a phone, but I'm not certain if that is working. If it doesn't work, then that's why I might switch the system around and then maybe see if the Mac gets the line in as well. So experiment with that for sure.
You said one of the phones.
Yeah. That's what you picked up on?
No, I heard everything else, but I was like, wait, what phones? Which phones?
I have the Samsung S23 Plus and the iPhone 14 Pro Max. So I haven't decided which one, because the Samsung phone's just sitting right up here and it's not my primary phone. But my 14-year-old lost his phone a couple of weeks ago. Can't find it anywhere, not even on Find My. So he needs a new phone, and I don't necessarily want him to switch to Android. So where I'm going with that is my hands might be tied, and I might have to switch to Android if we can't figure out another scenario without us going to buy another brand new iPhone this week so I can send him this 14 Pro Max, and then I'll have another phone. So I may be traveling with the Samsung. I'm not sure how that makes me feel yet.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was going to say about that. Because you don't want to buy a phone. So I'm not going to say what I was going to flippantly say, which is, well, I guess I will say, you know, just, you know, apropos of nothing else, I do have a 13 mini I need to sell.
Nope, not buying another phone. I'm not buying another phone. We'll probably, because I'm looking at buying a new radio. So I don't got the money.
So here's what I will do. So I also have a S23. This is not for you, just anybody listening. S23 will be listed for sale sometime this week as well, because I'm getting rid of that. Because I managed to finesse my way into a Google Pixel 8 Pro.
Oh, okay. When did this happen?
This happened like last week. Week before.
I was wondering why you were selling that phone. That makes sense now. Okay.
It's got to go, man. It's got to get out of here.
Have you actually received it yet? Or
yeah, I got it. It's in a bag behind me, because I mean, I've set it up. Like, so basically what I did, and I did actually test this out. I remembered. Also, I was lazy and didn't have a lot of time. So I used the device transfer to transfer the account. Well, the first time I did it, I transferred everything from the S23 over to the Pixel. Mm-hmm. And then I wiped the Pixel and did this the right way, because I didn't want all the Samsung apps on there and all the Microsoft Office apps I had to delete. I didn't think about that. So ultimately what I did is, during the second setup, is after turning on TalkBack, was getting the transfer of my accounts over, transferred a few photos over that I probably had taken with that. I'm not sure how many I took, not a whole bunch, but Tia took some with it too. So I transferred those over so I can eventually get those up into Google Photos. And yeah, didn't have to go through a lengthy setup. Mainly, I didn't have to type in my password for my Google account. Like, I'm just going to be honest. That is the reason I didn't want to set it up normally. But it seems to be working great. Haven't had a whole lot of time to play with it. But where I'm going with all of that, too, is that if you make the decision, or you know, just expediency, you send the phone 14 Pro Max out to the kid, and you got to go to the Galaxy, then I will, and I'm still thinking about doing it anyway, but I will definitely, if you have to do it, I will go along with you and switch over and put my primary number on the Pixel.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it like Wednesday-ish.
And we can do the thing. We can do the thing. Yeah. We can wipe the watches, right? And then get the ladies to set up our watches as, well, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And
but if I switch to the Samsung, I might just want to use that Pixel Watch.
That might be a thing. It's just sitting there,
not doing nothing. So we could experiment. I could try the Pixel Watch wearable.
And I can do the phone, the watch as a...
The problem is you need Tia there to set it up for you, don't you?
Yeah. But, I mean, I can... So the difference, though, is I'll still have my iPhone around until I get home for spring break, and then I can wipe it and do that whole setup process and have her, you know, help me set it up. I guess I could set it up myself.
That's what I was just thinking, is you could actually wipe your watch and then set it up yourself as, maybe. I don't know if it would let you.
I have no idea how it works. We'll see. I mean, we'll possibly see how that works, though. But that would be interesting, you know. Be an experiment.
It would be.
I don't spend enough time on my phone. I mean, there are times now, and this never used to happen, partially because I wasn't leaving the house either, but there's a lot of times during the day where I will have laid my phone down because it was out to be a hotspot for the laptop. And yeah, I'll discover like 3 hours later, I do not have my phone in my pocket.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
Just because of how things have turned out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm moving around. It's like I'll put the phone down, because every now and then I go to connect to the hotspot and I'm like, oh, this didn't connect. So I'll take it out, unlock the phone, and then that seems to fix that problem. So, and I'll just leave it on the desk. And I'm working on the laptop, and then I get up to go do something else and do something else, and then that leads to something else. And I go for my phone to do something. It's like, I don't have my phone.
Yeah. You need a slinger. Different discussion. Can't go into what you want to talk about.
I ain't even look at this one either. I saw it, but okay. I didn't really look at it.
Yeah. So Reaper class wraps up this week. This will be week number 4 of the Reaper class. I've gotten some great feedback from people, and I've gotten no feedback from people. So, you know, that's got its own challenges, but we're hosting it in Memberful. The replays are getting posted to Memberful. I'm a little, yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment too, probably. And so that's been going pretty nice. And we've gotten some people who are starting to actually jump into Reaper to record things quickly, which is awesome. That's what I want, because that's how I am. I have write option R set to Reaper. So if I need to record something, usually I hit write option R, command T, enter, and then I hit F7, and now I'm recording. So it sounds like a lot of steps, but I just went through that whole process, and now I'm recording, and I have two of my own voices in my head, because I have not went in and fixed my default project so it doesn't monitor tracks when I arm them, at least not this time. I've done that in the past, and I don't want people to say, well, you told us that this is what you do. I have done that in the past. I just, you know how it can go when you get setting stuff up and it's just default because it's working. I know I'm going to reset something eventually, so why go set it up now?
Yeah, and because you know how to quickly change it too, so it's not like it's a big hassle to make that change when you need to. Because I've set it up like that in the past where my default project does not monitor, because I never monitor through Reaper.
Nope.
But if I open Reaper right now and create a new track and arm it, I'm going to have to toggle off the monitor because I just hadn't made that change. Like, other things needed to be configured that were more important for me to remember to do when it comes to my recording environment. Not so much having to tap, what is it, F6 a couple of times to stop hearing myself.
F8, F6 or solo. But it is the goal of mine is to get people to where you're comfortable to just jump into Reaper, get done what you need to do, and then go out. And what I have realized during this whole process of teaching people stuff in Reaper is you really need to break stuff down more basically than you think you might need to. Because when you say arm a track and people don't understand what it means, as Demasi's told us several times, when Tamir asked him, well, did you arm the track? What do you mean arm the track? Like, you need to explain the basic terminology to people.
Track an AK or something? It ain't that bad, man. But
you need to understand the basics and teach that to people before you can go and tell them to do the basics that you expect them to do. Because really the tool is it's a beast of a tool, but it's also a simple tool that you can use to just quickly get stuff recorded. And I will wrap this segment up by saying yesterday I recorded that audio for Steven, and I used markers in there and everything, and the Mallory's like, hey, we got to go to town now, and I thought I had like 45 minutes left. So I hit save, and something went wrong. So today, when I sat down to edit it, I opened the recent projects, and it's like, error, this project cannot be opened. Would you like to remove it from your recent project list? I'm like, not really, but okay. And I went and looked, and the Reaper file actually wasn't there. It just had a folder called media with nothing in it. And so, honestly, my thought, darn it, like, what? It's the first time I've ever lost audio in Reaper. I claim Reaper is a non-destructive editor, and you never have to worry about losing audio as long as you save your audio. Then I said, wait, as long as I save my audio, and then I went to my documents and my Reaper and then my temp folder, and I found the two files that I recorded yesterday because I saved them, but the project itself just didn't get saved. And what happened is I saved the project, and then I immediately disconnected the external hard drive, and that's where the error was, because I think the project was still saving when I disconnected the hard drive. But because you have to save the audio after you're done recording it, that was saved in the temp directory.
Yep.
So I could, the only thing I lost were the markers, which was nothing. Like, the markers were just time markers so I could edit faster. So I was just happy that I still had my audio.
Yep. I was going to ask that question if you hadn't discovered that, like, hey, Mike, it's in your temp folder. Like,
yeah.
Go there. Yeah. When you record audio, Reaper, Reaper always saves to that temp folder and doesn't move anything into a project folder until you actually save the project. But even if you open it up and then don't save anything, your audio files are still there, which is a bit of a double-edged sword. Be mindful of that fact for people, especially if you're new to Reaper or if you don't think about that at all. Occasionally go through and clean out that folder also.
Yeah. Yeah. Because mine is probably huge because I have not set up Hazel to clean it up because I'm a little nervous to set up Hazel to clean it up because it saved me before. Even if it's been like a couple of weeks down the road, it's still saved me because I know that that file is there. My temp directory is 16.75 gigabytes, which really isn't too bad. Although considering the fact that all those files are FLAC, that is quite a bit.
It's a lot of audio, not necessarily. It's not terrible. I mean, FLAC is pretty efficient, and you do a lot of recording in Reaper. So
yeah. So
how is Memberful? How's the experience been using Memberful with this?
The experience has been great. I really like what Memberful has done. They've got a really simple interface to go in there, choose website, choose posts. And hey, look, I'm talking a lot more today, and Demasi's not as sick as he was when he wanted me to talk more. Anyways, go in, choose posts, set up a post, and then by default, it's not set up this way, but I've changed our settings. So when I send a new post, it actually goes to all of our members via email, which that right there is pretty cool for that to just be part of it. Why I chuckled is currently, as of today, Memberful has three price tiers. They have a $0 a month, they have a $25 a month, and they have a $100 a month price tier. And right now we're on the $25 a month tier. They take 4.9% of our transactions and gives us, you know, some features, and we use those features just fine. We got an email last month, though, that says, hey, we got some news for you. We're changing our prices as of April 1st. I said, okay, where's this going? Your price of $25 a month is going up to $49 a month. So they are doubling it. But the gotcha is they're changing from a free tier or a paid tier. There's not the three price points that you have to pick from. So instead of there being a $100 a month tier, you get all the features that you would have gotten at $100 a month for $49 a month. It's not as painful as I thought it was going to be because now I'm going to get these extra features. Now I need to go in and look and see what are these extra features I'm going to get and am I going to actually use them. But Memberful really isn't horrible. The user experience, I think there's more customizing there that I need to go in as the admin to do, but time. Right now I'm able to provide people the information that they need. And when we post a new download, if anyone from Memberful is listening, it would be nice if I could get the link to the download when I post a new download. And maybe there's a way to do it with the slug that they give us. And I should look into seeing if that's what that is for. But what I have to do is log in with one of my temp membership accounts, which is just a test account that I gave myself free access to the Club Unmute membership on. And I just log into that account, which is tied to my AT guy's email. And then when I'm in there, I click on the downloads link. And then each download is its own heading because I haven't turned these downloads into a podcast. That might change in the next couple of weeks because I think that'll be easier for me to manage. And then members can just get their own podcast feed. I'm going to experiment with that. But right now I needed a solution. So I did this. And it could change in the future. And then I grabbed the link to those and I dropped that into the email. And then when someone clicks on that link from their email, it'll prompt you to log in and then you enter your email address. And if you have a password, you can enter that. Otherwise, there's a button that says send me a link and you click that and it sends you over a link and you're good to go. So yeah, Memberful is working fairly well. Integration with Stripe is nice. I like to get those Stripe notifications, just saying. They are nice to receive. And I feel like there's more meeting stuff. Like, so right now I have a template in draft. It's not actually a template, but it's a draft that I go to and I build the post for the upcoming week's content that already has the Zoom link and stuff. Like, oh, I need to buy Text Expander. I need to get that. Do you know when that expires?
Can
we put it in the show notes tomorrow?
June, but it possibly will be there.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I didn't get it. I had a page open to get it, and then I went to go look for my link, and then I got sidetracked doing something else, and I just actually paid for mine today. Like, when I dropped you the link, I had just paid for mine, and it was like, oh, let me send it to Mike, because I don't know when it goes away. But we can drop it in the show notes. There's a bundle on Bundle Hunt. We'll put a link in the show notes. And
getting it right now.
That will be it's a Mac and Windows bundle. So they have a lot of software options in there. One thing, Text Expander is $6 right now. We are dropping a referral link in the show notes. So if you want to, you know, not going to cost you any extra money, but it'll throw a little something our way if you choose to use that link. Or you can just go to bundlehunt.com and pay for your bundle. Text Expander being $6, there's some other software in there that others may find of interest. I was primarily interested in Text Expander. It does not let you do like we did one year where we stacked a bunch of. Yeah, they let me do that.
I was looking for how to do that, so thank you. Because last time we did that, it's been a couple of years, but I only got like 2 years, and Demasi's like, yeah, I got like five or something. I don't remember what it was, but
yeah, it was something crazy. I didn't have to pay.
You have reached maximum license allowed for this app.
That's
you
what
guys
I saw.
Learned your lesson.
Now, what I hadn't tried is going back and buying just another one with a whole another purchase to see if it's like, oh yeah, you can do this, or no, nah, get out of here, man. You already bought this. I will say there's a piece of software that I was going to get, and I actually forgot that I own this, called Mail Archiver X. That deal is only for new Mail Archiver X users. So I added it to my cart, didn't realize it, got ready to check out. The checkout didn't work, and I was like, what is going on? There was a notice at the top. This is only for new Archiver X customers. You already currently have an Archiver X. I was like, oh, I don't even think I knew that. All it does is it gives you some ways to archive emails. You can have it do it automatically. There's some different settings. You have convert to PDFs, different things like that. And I was going to grab it again. I got to go find my license because it was only like $1.50 or something, as opposed to its normal $30, $40, something like that. So, but there's some different software in there. I can't vouch for the accessibility of all of it because I have not used all of it. But take a look for anybody interested and see if there's anything that piques your interest that you may have wanted to buy. They do have some subscription software such as Text Expander where you're getting a year of it for whatever the price is being shown there. But
versus the $6 a month I'm paying right now, I think, or $4 a month, I think is what I have it on. Because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to buy a year. I'm just going to buy this monthly until it comes around on Bundle Hunt, because it will come around eventually. I think I did that like 2 years ago.
Ah, see, I didn't even know they had a monthly plan.
Yeah, they have a monthly plan.
And I think I need to renew my domains, or did I already do it?
Oh, I let unmute.show expire. And of course, you know, people started visiting the website when it expires. Like, you guys don't visit the website until now. And anyways, $38.
Yeah, I've learned my lesson on domains. Like, because you do it and the thing sticks around. Like, I'm going to have to renew. I don't have to renew the .am that I have because we never did anything with it.
Which one?
The .am.
Oh, yeah. Nope. Don't need to renew that.
But Unmute Community, I got to renew that this year.
Why is it $7.09?
Because there's a transaction something or another. It's like a dollar and something, yeah. I mean, it's better than $40.
It is. Still. It is. It is.
Yeah. that's their way of trying to entice you to spend $30 and then you don't have to pay that additional fee and it'll be exactly what it added up in the car. But I didn't even see $30 worth of stuff I wanted. I just wanted my Texas Mandarin. So I'm just spitballing here a bit because I don't even know if this would work at all. And none of us at the moment have the time to do this. But just spitballing with the Gravity Forms tools that we have at our disposal and members, do you think it will be possible to sort of duplicate what you have going with member for at the moment? One thing that immediately jumps out as me as a potential, like I don't have an answer for that right now, is private fees for each individual.
Yeah, PMP will let you do that. So with the tools we have right now, I'm not certain, but I know that because so we have to do this with do something similar with bits. And so that's one of the things that I'm working my way through, and I need, when, you know, we both have some time to sit down and talk more about it, we need to hammer out some of those details. I think once I get that figured out and what we're doing with bits and how to get that experience at least up and running, and bits right now is going to be easy because easy-ish. Just getting it in there, because right now we just need a place for people to log in and get access to downloads. And that is doable with members and Gravity Forms. Where things might start to be slightly problematic / more difficult is, as you said, giving people a private feed. I think that could be doable, maybe not with members, but there are some tools that would allow you to do that. And then letting people be able to figure out, when does my membership expire and can I renew my membership? That's where I'm running into a mental block of how do I configure this and set this part up.
Yeah, I mean, I know the feed thing can be done because a long ago used plugin, and I forget, it's not members, what is it called? E-member, WP E-member, had private feeds. So I know it's something that can be done. It's just like I don't have an immediate answer like, oh, yeah. Like you asked me about setting permissions and restricting access. Yeah, members, just drop that in, right? I don't have that kind of answer for that. The emails going out, Gravity Whiz's email notifier can be used for that. I don't think I ever told you this. I think I mentioned to you I was going to try it, but I did actually build like a lightweight kind of newsletter system just all on Gravity Forms with Gravity Whiz and that plugin. You don't have all of the advanced stuff you get with a ConvertKit or AWeber or something like that with tags and segments and all that kind of stuff. Like I mean, you probably could implement some of that. But just to have a, hey, you put your email into this form. Now you're on this list. When this person creates a new post, it sends an email to everybody that filled out that form. That part worked.
Yeah, so I just got Gravity Forms. Not Gravity Forms. What the hell? I just got text expanded. I wish I could get Gravity Forms in a bundle, huh, Leo? Like,
man, we need to.
That would be worth changing all the licenses to a new license.
Yeah, man. This is a shout out to Gravity Forms too. Like, hey, lifetime license. Like, you know, I mean, I will buy that. Despite my sometimes being extraordinarily frustrated with what you guys do or don't do, I would still buy that.
Where do I get this code at?
What code? Oh, go to your
account.
Yeah, go to your account, and then it should drop you on that tab for license keys and redemption codes. What I did is I jumped down to the heading that told me this, you know, whatever the name of that bundle was, it's going to be the one at the top of the list for you. And hit your tab key once, and it's going to say download CSV. And just tap the space bar.
Okay. Okay. I will get this added to my Text Expander account. And it's been a weird show, but it's been about an hour, I think. I don't really actually know with some of the audio that we'll be cleaning up in post. But in order for me to get to edit this in a reasonable time, do you have anything else?
Nope.
What do you want to Downloads and licenses was what I was looking for.
Yeah, there you go. Good show. We tried some stuff, and this is some of the type of things that we're going to be doing, not necessarily intentionally breaking audio. I fully expect that to work. It didn't. We'll figure it out. But, good show. I still am on decent microphones. We promise not to use internal microphones ever again. And I don't, like Mike said, at worst, you're going to get decent audio out of the Zoom H1 being a USB microphone. Who knows? Maybe we'll open up next week's show with a demo of how that sounds. We won't do the whole show that way because we won't have to. But in a pinch, that'll work. But I want to thank everybody for listening. As mentioned earlier, you can go to technicallyworking.show and get show notes as well as become a supporter. I want to absolutely thank all of our supporters that are able and willing to contribute to the production of this show financially. We truly appreciate you. But as I always say, we appreciate you even if you don't contribute financially, because you are contributing to downloads, and we appreciate your help just by sharing the show with a friend or posting on social media about the show. You can get in touch with us if you have ideas, thoughts, any kind of feedback@technicallyworking.show, or you can reach out to us on Mastodon. He is Payon, PAYOWN, at unmute.community, and I'm Damashe, DAMASHE, at unmute.community.